The podcast you're about to listen to is for people just like you. People who are consenting adults who realize that adults like us tend to have conversations that might be explicit and graphic. Thanks for listening.
All of my life, I've never fit, but I won't complain and I won't quit. I am enormous. Get used to it. Everyone tells me I'm too much. Maybe it's just you're not enough for me. Can't you see? I'm the kind of woman I'm supposed to be.
Hi there, and welcome to the Body Storytelling Podcast. I am sexual folklorist Dixie Delatour, and this is episode 108. You ready to get kinky? Well, then let's go. How's your week going? One of my favorite things in the world is connecting with you every week. And while I have very little voice this week, the walking pneumonia is still kind of kicking my ass. More importantly, I kind of have a vulnerability hangover from last week's episode. I talked about what was personally going on for me, which was pretty embarrassing. And I got a lot of response. I got a lot of people who wrote me to give me advice, who wrote me to give me support. And I'm feeling a little too seen right now. It shouldn't be a problem, right? But I don't know that I'm necessarily made for performer life. I love to put people on stage. I love to coach them, to help them tell a story the way that they want it told. Supporting people in that role is my favorite thing ever. And that didn't really exist. Body storytelling and true stories of sex, kink, and gender didn't exist, so I created it. But, you know, I have my shy moments, believe it or not. For a woman who rocks the tits and the cleavage and who has Crayola red hair, I still have my moments where I'm fairly introverted, and this week is one of them. However, I'm the host of the podcast, so I just want to say thank you for the emails that I received this week. Thank you for the people who signed up to help out on Patreon and who sent money via PayPal for my current medical travesty. I appreciate you guys so much. You love to know the behind the scenes, how we end up with these people on stage, and how we end up producing this podcast. So I want to tell you a little secret. One of the things that makes this podcast so unique is also one of the things that makes it more costly to produce. If we were to do a strict interview podcast where we just turned it on and talked and turned it off and then uploaded that to the internet, you could listen wherever you were, that would be pretty easy to produce, which would mean less hours of production from my podcast producer. But that's not what we do. What we do is we take live stage shows and we take music that we need, you know, musical rights to. We spend a lot of time producing this, many more hours than an interview podcast would need. So that is why I'm asking for your support on Patreon. Body Storytelling is listener supported. And if you support us on Patreon, this thing you love so much, and I know it's true because we've got over 400 five-star reviews that tell us you think this thing is awesome. I really need you to go to patreon.com/body and support us. I don't like asking for help. I really don't. But it's necessary if we want the Body Storytelling Podcast to flourish and grow. So go to patreon.com/body, support us at whatever level that you can. If you'd like to support us another way beyond Patreon, then you have PayPal, you have Zelle, just let us know. Your support means we can grow, and I love to grow. Thanks in advance for your support. I know you're chomping at the bit to hear this week's story, so let me tell you about our storyteller. Deviancy is a kinky, gay, cis male who has been working with queer artists in the Burning Man community to build spaces where people feel welcome and to help them have the time of their life. He's following his husband to Berlin to explore a whole new underground scene and performing at Body Storytelling as part of how he wants to say goodbye to San Francisco. This was his goodbye performance right before he moved to Germany. This storyteller is Deviancy.
Yeah! Okay?
Yep.
Okay.
All right. All right. She's not lying. I really can't see anything. So I was one of those people who always knew they were kinky. But growing up in the conservative suburbs of San Diego, I didn't really know what to do with that. Most of the guys that I dated in high school thought it was pretty weird, weren't really into it. And so when I moved away to college, I moved up here to go to Berkeley in 2001. I thought this was going to be the time for sexy, kinky adventures. Berkeley's also a really big school, and for kind of a shy, nerdy kid, it was pretty intimidating. And luckily in 2001, we had gay.com chat rooms and Yahoo Instant Messenger. And I was up late one night online chatting. I really should have been sleeping, but I come across this profile, Burke Guy 81, and he is a student and he is also kinky in his profile. And so I send him a message. How's it going? He introduces himself. I find out his name is Aaron and he is a senior in the philosophy department. Well, yeah, you know, older guys. So I say, you know, I'm kinky too. And he goes, you know, what are you into? I'm like, I don't know. I haven't done much. But it would be hot to get handcuffed and fucked. And he says, well, that's fun. But, you know, you probably should get some leather restraints. Handcuffs kind of hurt. And I think, great, I'm already learning things in college. And, you know, we stay up late chatting for a few months about our dirty fantasies and role play scenarios. And Halloween rolls around and he sends me a message. Power Exchange is having a Halloween party. Do you want to check it out? And I'm like, yeah, let's check it out. I think this is going to be this, you know, kind of playtime. And so I get dressed up in the only gear that I've got. I have the secondhand leather harness that somebody gave me. Head over to his apartment on College Avenue. And he answers the door. There's this woman there. And he introduces me to his roommate, Jessica. And Jessica's this kind of tall Ellen Page lookalike. And, you know, I try and make awkward conversation as we get in the car and drive to a sex club. I learned that she is a grad student and she has absolutely no patience for my, you know, freshman undergrad ass. And, you know, we walk at the steps of Powerhouse and it's in this massive old building, it was at the time at Mission and Goff. And, you know, it's the different floors are themed. There's a dungeon in the basement. You know, there's a glory hole maze upstairs. And there's this room where there's tents and fake trees to make it feel like you're fucking outside. And what I think is, you know, maybe I can salvage this. Maybe, you know, Jessica's going to go off and get gangbanged and Aaron and I can find some corner to play around in. It sort of turns into this kinky museum tour where Aaron and Jessica kind of lead me along this long line of people that snakes through the basement and the dungeon. And, you know, nobody's talking to each other, or certainly nobody's touching each other, but getting to see people get flogged and tied up to X crosses and gangbanged. And we wander through and explore all the rooms, and then it's seen it all and get in the car and drive back to Berkeley. And, you know, I send him this message the next day. It's like, hey, that was fun. Like, you know, let's hang out again. And never get a response. And, you know, a couple months come around. It's the start of the new semester. And I walk into Philosophy 12A, Introduction to Deductive Logic. And Aaron's sitting in the back row. And so I sit up next to him and, how's it going? What are you doing in this class? Aren't you a senior? And he's like, I'm the TA. I'm grading all the assignments. Oh. You know, after I get home, I find a message. And it's, how was class? And I'm like, it was fine. He's like, so have you tried anything yet? I say, nothing yet. He asked me what I'd be into trying. And I say, well, I've never been submissive with a guy before. And he, what does that mean to you? I don't know, it'd be hot to get tied up and fucked. And he's like, all right. How would you feel about not coming? And I've never had sex without coming before. And this goes on for a couple months. And, you know, and then it's spring break, and he sends me a message. My roommate's out of town. I'm horny to play with a sub boy. Are you ready for that? And so, fuck yeah, I'm ready for that. what are your limits? And I give a kind of generic response of, you know, no blood, pain, marks, and, you know, we'll use condoms for fucking. And he's like, all right, come on over. And so I head over, and he opens the door, and he leads me into the bedroom and says, for tonight, I want you to end every response you have with sir. Yes, sir. He says, now get undressed and put on this blindfold. Yes, sir. Get on your knees. Yes, sir. And then I hear him walk away. And I hear the fridge open. And I hear these bottles clinking around. And he walks back and he says, suck my cock, boy. Yes, sir. And so his cock just feels like massive in my mouth in that way when you're blindfolded, like everything is heightened. And I can feel my tongue on the ridge of his head of his dick and going down his shaft and the smell of his balls and the feeling of his pubes against my face as I'm blowing him. And eventually he says, stand up, boy. Yes, sir. And he walks away again. And I can hear the fridge open. As he's walking back, I hear this hiss. And then he comes back, shoves me onto the bed, and starts face-fucking me as he's lubing up my hole. And I'm getting excited and lifting up my legs. And so he says, you know, spread your legs wider. And I feel these leather straps go down my legs, and they sort of goes around my back and then forces my legs up and out and feeling exposed. And then he walks away again. And just kind of leaves me there in anticipation of what's going to happen. And I can hear him gulping something down. And then he proceeds to play with a series of butt toys on me. And again, I'm still blindfolded. And so it becomes this like mystery game of like, is the next one going to be bigger? Is the next one going to be the same shape? Is it going to feel different on the way out? And I am really enjoying myself, and I am jerking off, and he can tell that I'm getting excited and close to coming. And he says, hey boy, did I tell you you could jerk off? No, sir. And so he slips these leather restraints on my wrists, links them together, and says, I want you to keep your hands above your head until I tell you not to. Yes, sir. Yeah, so you ready to get fucked, boy? Yes, sir. And then he starts toying with me. I don't think you're ready. I don't think you've earned it, boy. So now I have to beg him for it. And I have to beg him to fuck me. Please, sir, please give me your cock. Please. I've worked so hard for this. And eventually he feels like I've begged enough. And he starts fucking me. And it feels like the most intense pounding ever. And it starts out slow and deliberate, and eventually it speeds up. It is, because I can't jerk off, it is, feels so intense. And just to the, when I think it's to the point where I have to ask him to stop, I just can't keep going. He lets out this long groan and comes all over me. I am covered in sweat and lube and cum, and I feel amazing. You know, after we take a moment to kind of catch our breath, he undoes the restraints, takes the portable sling off my legs, and helps me up, checks in, how you doing? I'm like, I feel great. You know, I take the blindfold off, and I can see that he has chugged 3 Coors Lights since I got here. And then he asked me, are you ready to wash it off, boy? I'm like, sure. Yeah, I could use a shower. And so he leads me into the tub and says, I want you to drink my piss, boy. I am covered in a torrent of hot beer-flavored piss, and it is up my nose and down my throat and all over my body, and I am choking and coughing and gagging, and I can barely keep any of this down. And he is just laughing at me this whole time. And I get cleaned up, and I actually take a shower, and then, you know, Aaron and I kind of geek out on this gear. Apparently he had just bought the portable sling that day. So he was like, I get to try this out. You know, and he shows me the butt toys that he used on me and then asked me which one was my favorite. I go home and jerk off about this immediately and send him a message. I was like, hey, that was a lot of fun. Like, let me know if you want to do it again. And I don't get any response. I actually never get a response from him again. And I actually never even see him in class again. It wasn't until 2 months later and I get the semester grades, I found out he gave me an A+, at least. But more importantly, you know, it was, you know, this feeling that, like, you know, I was not a weird kid, that there were other people out there like me, and, you know, I just had to find them.
Inside your room now, where is it you've hid? Our game of hide and too dear, now you're it. Ding dong, looks like I have won, now you're it. Ding dong, be the consequence.
That song was Hide and Seek by Vocaloid. We've got a bunch of really special shows coming up for Body Storytelling. Not only are we helping the Rebar Seattle celebrate their 30th anniversary, 30 years of being part of music and queer culture in Seattle, we are celebrating 13 years of Body Storytelling in San Francisco. So let me give you information on those shows, because not only are we offering VIP tables on the front row with gift bags and all kinds of goodies this year, and they're almost gone. Like, they've been selling like wildfire. So grab the last one if you can. We are going to have gift bags and prizes for Bango. Our gift bags in San Francisco are provided by Good Vibrations. We are so grateful to them for the great prizes that they let me unload into the winner's arms on stage in front of everybody. The winners love it. They twitch while I do it. And in Seattle, those prize bags are provided by Babeland. Thank you to Good Vibrations and Babeland for our prize packages for Bango. So, coming up in February, the Rebar Seattle is celebrating with us. And on February 19th, the exact 30th anniversary of the Rebar, we will be doing sex, drugs, and rock and roll in honor of their longstanding contributions to Seattle's queer and musical heritage. Tickets for that are available on our website. Just click on the live button. And our 13th anniversary show in San Francisco is going to be a two-show night. You can get a wristband so that you don't miss a single story. The first show is going to be Body Storytelling's Lucky 13th, and that is going to be my invited guests. And the second show, that starts at 10 p.m., is the people that you vote for. You vote for the winners of Best of Body. Right now, the survey is available, so if you follow us on Twitter, or if you follow us on Facebook, wherever you go, and also in the show notes for this episode, you will see a survey. Vote for your favorite story. If it's been on the podcast, vote for your favorites that have been on the podcast. If you've attended the live show, vote for your favorite story of the year. Four winners will end up on stage on February 22nd, our two-show night. In addition to all those stories, 7 p.m. show and 10 p.m. show, for both shows, we're going to have our talented friend Rachel Lark performing. So yeah, we have this website page that just got updated. You can see every single show that is going on through currently June of this year. So if you want to plan some travel, if you want to come see a live Body Storytelling, every single date is there for you right now. And tickets are selling months and months out. Why didn't we do that before? So go to bodystorytelling.com, click on live, and you will see tickets available for upcoming shows and those dates. I can't wait to see you really soon at a live Body Storytelling show. And that's our episode for this week. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you to the people who make this podcast possible. Thank you to podcast producer Marty Garcia, to sound engineer David Grossoff, to video archivist Joe Moore, and thank you to Pleasure Podcasts. They're a podcast network revolutionizing the conversation around sex, and Body Storytelling is proud to be part of Pleasure Podcast. I'm sexual folklorist Dixie De La Tour. We'll be back really soon with the next episode of the Body Storytelling Podcast. Here's a peek at what's next.
The sex that got me pregnant was really good sex, like in the afternoon, with simultaneous orgasms. It was like Sunset Magazine sex, you know?